Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, right now, call number five on the contest line, 786-534-0790. We're going to set you up with a four-pack of tickets for the Heat and the Thunder. The game's on February 1. So right now, call number five, 786-534-0790. 534-0790. John Clayton joins us every Thursday at this time. We talk to the professor about everything going on in the National Football League, sponsored by Anna John and Levine. Accident attorneys, call 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning.
So this past weekend's games, divisional round, games stunk, huh?
Oh, they're pretty bad. After what I thought was one of the greatest wild card rounds, I mean, this was just tedium to try to watch some of these games. It was bad.
Do you think that the NFL is ever going to consider, now this doesn't necessarily have to do with the playoffs right now, but do you think the NFL is ever going to consider realignment or anything like that? Like, are any kind of changes in the future coming as far as realignment, playoffs, that kind of deal?
I hope not. I think that would be the biggest mistake, because if you start to realign, what you then do is that you devalue winning a division. And when you have only six games in division play and you start to take that away, I think that could be a disaster. Because, again, if you start to seed it a certain way, I think it just goes bad. I mean, what you want to try to do is if you win the division, you get a home game. And, of course, what ends up happening is that the home teams all won and the visiting teams. And, again, the realignment wouldn't have changed the events, I don't think.
All right, let's start with what took place in New England this past weekend, and let's actually start with Philip Rivers. The Chargers had a really tough go at it. The game was over before it started, seemingly. 35-7 at halftime. Chargers got no chance. Philip Rivers, give me some thoughts here on Hall of Fame once his career ends. Is he the kind of guy who needs to get to the Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl to eventually get the Hall of Fame nod, or has he done enough already?
I think it would help. I mean, I think you can still make the argument to get him in, because I think the argument right now is the best quarterback to never go to a Super Bowl. And that's, you look at the numbers and you look at the success and all those different things. But it certainly would have helped. And this was going to be the year, because, I mean, everything, it would have been better if they certainly had the home game, if they won the division and all that stuff. But, particularly if he was able to take three games on the road and get to the Super Bowl, I think that enhanced his chances of getting in. The problem still is that no Super Bowl probably keeps him on the outside, because, again, you have such great type of quarterbacks that he's going to be competing against for the honor to get into the Hall of Fame. The four quarterbacks in the AFC that have dominated the AFC, Tom Brady five times going there, and Ben Roethlisberger twice, and Joe Flacco once. Now, Joe's not going to go to the Hall of Fame, obviously, and then Peyton Manning twice. I mean, since 2001, Philip came in 2004, there's only been four quarterbacks in the AFC that have won Super Bowls. But the thing is, it certainly would help to get him in to try to win a Super Bowl.
Is Rivers and the Chargers' window closed?
No, it's not closed. I mean, they still have a good enough defense, and he's still a good enough player, and I think that you can see that he's not going to retire. The team's not going to take that much of a step back, I don't think. I mean, you look at the you have to kind of wonder, can they win 12 again? Because what they did is that they came back, and last year they won 9 out of their last 12. They add to the team this year with Derwin James and others, and then they win 12. So I don't think the window's over, but I think, the window's within a year or two.
John, Tom Brady came out after the game and really for a couple days afterward, and the Patriots' new motivation now is apparently everyone thinks they suck. Okay, John, you got to be kidding me if you're Tom Brady. No one has said that the Patriots suck.
No one said that. What they said is that you can see that the window is starting to close a little bit. You can see that certainly the game, Tom Brady's game. But yeah, I think he's over dramatizing. And again, I guess he's doing that for motivation. He's trying to rub it in. And of course, one of the things that we'll see now is that is there going to be be a drop-off. Now they're going to be on the road because so much of the success of this team has been their ability to get playoff games at home. I mean, you think about the fact that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick together have been to 38 playoff games, and 31 of them, 31, have been at home, and that's where they have a distinct advantage. Now with a 3-4 record on the road in playoff games and a 3-5 record on the road this year, let's see if Tom Brady can live up and do what he does at home and do it on the road in the cold.
Do you think other folks around the league, be it general managers, maybe owners, they see what the Patriots have been able to do all these years? We down here, because we're AFC East, we know that a major reason why the Patriots have had the success they've had is because they play in the division six games every year against Buffalo, New York, and Miami. And that's 5-1, 6-0 every single year. Do people around the league, general manager, executive types, owners, do they talk about that being having been an unfair advantage for New England?
No, I'm sure that they're envious. There's no question. And I think they talk about it because that's the realization. But it's no different, I think, than what you saw back in the days when Bill Walsh was in San Francisco. You know, here they had the NFC West, and the NFC West had bad New Orleans teams. I mean, they, of course, at that time there was five teams in the division, and so they were able to dominate the division, and that gave them the advantage. And I think what you can see is that if you go every year and you're going to be 5-1 in division play, all you have to do is go 6-4, which is a little bit above 500, or 7-3, and you're pretty much looking at home games in the playoffs. And at least and maybe a bye week. And that's the advantage because, I mean, look at what they were able to do. They're able to parlay things in the AFC East. They're able to at least, get the 12 wins, get the bye week. All they have to do is win one playoff game at home, and then they get the championship game in New England, and that's usually better for them to be able to win.
Do you think Antonio Brown is a guy the Patriots would go after? We've seen this before. They go after the very, the really super talented guys who are disgruntled in their previous place of employment, and they get them for super cheap. Do you think that's a match?
I think it can't happen because if you're Pittsburgh, you can't give Antonio Brown to New England, the team that you're competing against, to try to get to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I think they might try because, again, they do need receiver help. I mean, he's 30. He would be perfect for that offense. But if you're Pittsburgh, you can't trade him to New England.
So that's only a situation if he's released.
What's that? Well, he's not going to be released.
Right, okay.
There's no way.
Okay.
There's enough of a trade market that there's no way that they're going to release him. And again, you figure the value is going to be at the very worst a second-round pick. But I would have to think with the way the bidding is going to go, they're going to get at least a first. You take a look at a team like San Francisco, they can't offer a first because their first is the second pick in the draft. But what about Oakland? Oakland, again, he may not want to go to Oakland, but, of course, this is not his choice. They have three number one picks. They could easily give one of those pick in the 20s to get him, and that may satisfy Pittsburgh.
John, speaking of value, Tom House, the name that Nolan Ryan worked with, it's clearly Brady's quarterback throwing coach. Guys like Matt Ryan have jumped on the train. How important to Brady's success is this throwing coach, Tom House?
I think, the success of Tom Brady is Tom Brady, but I think that Tom House has done a great job with him. I think the guys that have worked with Tom House, both in baseball and in football, have done a lot of good things. But I think the fact that you can see that Tom is going to work on the mechanics, he's going to work on different things if there's going to be some issues, I think that it has to go for the longevity, because the one thing I think you can see how well-trained Tom is, but I think there's no question that he's helped through the years.
Give me some thoughts here, John. Let's move over to the other side of the AFC. Okay, the Chiefs, they wind up, no contest there against Indianapolis. Andrew Luck had a terrific season, comeback of the year type of season for him, but he was terrible, okay? Does it put any kind of damper on the season that he had?
No, you can't because, again, nobody expected this to be as good as it is. I thought the return of Andrew Luck, even though it was slow at the beginning, was going to be one that could get them to 8 wins. But to be able to come back and win 9 out of 10 games, to be able to win a playoff game like they did, I thought was just fantastic. But no, like anything else, I mean, if you're going to be a wild card team, sometimes everything catches up to you at some point, and it caught up to them. And again, why? I have no idea. They just had a horrible game. An offensive line that only allowed 18 sacks allows 3. The running game vanished. The defense that had played so well in the second half of the season just flat out vanished.
What are some good spots here for Nick Foles moving forward, okay? He had a good enough game. Obviously, Alshon Jeffrey is the lasting image with the ball going through his hands. Team already comes out and says that Carson Wentz, he's our guy moving forward. And Foles, he apparently has made it clear that he wants to be a starter. So give me some options here for Nick Foles this offseason.
Well, it may only be one option. That's the weird part about it. And it depends on how everybody handles everything. I mean, you have to be a little suspicious with what John Elway said this week, is that Case Keenum at 2 years, $18 million, is the short-term answer, and he's looking for the long-term answer. And so what you could probably guess, they'll probably stand by Case Keenum for one more year and then draft a quarterback with the 10th pick in the draft. That takes Foles away from going to Denver, although that has to be a consideration. I think Jacksonville is the lead team without any question. I mean, first, they need a quarterback. I mean, Blake Bortles was terrible. Second, they just hired John DeFilippo as their offensive coordinator, who had been in Philadelphia and worked with Nick Foles. So I think you can see that's an option. You know, Washington has to be looking for a quarterback for Alex Smith, but I don't think they can afford the $20 million plus that it's going to cost for Nick Foles, because under the cap, that's just not going to work. So they have to come up with something on a cheaper basis. So New York Giants, could that be a possibility? Maybe. They can, you know, that could be one, but I still think they stand by Eli Manning. I think Jacksonville is the logical team.
All right, John, we'll put you on hold here. We'll talk about Championship Sunday and also get into a little bit of the Dolphins and all that going on with their coaching search, all right?
All right, sounds good.
All right, hang on. John Clayton joins us every Thursday this time, sponsored by Ann and John Levine. Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. More with John Clayton next. All right, John Clayton joins us every Thursday, sponsored by Ann and John Levine. Accident Attorneys, call 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. It's here with us in the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line, truly steps beyond convenient. John, before we get to Championship Sunday, and do want to talk a little bit about Brian Flores, who looks like he's going to be the next Dolphins head coach after the Patriots are finally done. We were talking earlier this hour. Let me get in on the conversation here. We were talking earlier this hour. Did you see there is a new Ghostbusters movie? There's going to be a new Ghostbusters sequel that is coming out in the summer of 2020. Did you see that yesterday?
I did not see that. No, that's kind of, that's not a bad idea. I like it.
You're a fan of the original Ghostbusters movies, right?
100%.
Okay, better villain in the Ghostbuster movies, Viggo the Carpathian or Gozer the Traveler?
I think Gozer. Yeah, Gozer the Traveler was worse. I mean, he was pretty intense.
Yeah, I agree. And the dogs, man, like Zool, the dogs were, you know, those evil dogs hiding under the bed and in the closet in Rick Moranis' apartment, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. All right, let's get to Championship Sunday here, okay? Let's start out with the AFC side. Well, actually, just big picture-wise, like, we got the two best games possible, right? I mean, obviously, it's one versus two, but as far as star power is concerned, okay, Breeze against the high-powered Rams, Sean McVay, that's a juicy matchup, okay? And then on the other side, you got the Patriots, Tom Brady, the Chiefs, Mahomes, 50 touchdowns. Like, this is the best possible matchups we could have had, right?
Yeah, and what I like about it, it's old guard and new guard. I mean, if you like the old ways, then you're siding with Tom Brady and Drew Brees. If you like the new ways, certainly Patrick Mahomes got, you know, not just this year, but maybe other Super Bowls in his future. And then you look at the system quarterback. If you want to be, you know, honest with Jared Goff, you know, where does he stand in the equation? That's what you like. I mean, you've got four offenses that are the highest scoring offenses in the league. I mean, arguably you got four of the five or six best play callers offensively in this game. I mean, it's been an offensive year, and I think it's only kind of just at the end is all offense and great quarterback play that's going to be dominating in this championship round.
We got Mahomes, who's having an historic caliber season. Give me your impressions on him, his first playoff game starting quarterback this past week against the Chargers. I mean, he and that Chiefs offense really couldn't have been any better going into this weekend, right?
No, and I think it just fits the way the season is. I mean, when you think about the reality of Patrick Mahomes, and again, we may have not, this is, he's looking to be one of the best young quarterbacks maybe ever to hit the league. Here he is in his first season. He goes through 16 games, 17, I guess you want to include the playoffs, and he never scores less than 26 points. And, of course, that's needed because their defense has been so bad, although it was great last week on a rare note. But, I mean, you look at his ability to run around, his ability to make throws. I mean, you can see the baseball in him and the way that he makes some of the no-look throws and some of the might be the first AFC quarterback who's not been Tom Brady and the other three to maybe go to the Super Bowl and win. I think he's got a good advantage in this game.
Look, I know Andy Reid's teams, okay, especially offensively, have had a lot of success, okay, against the Patriots, Brady, Belichick. But how important do you think this game is for Andy Reid as far as his coaching career is concerned? Because, you know, he's appeared in the Super Bowl and lost to, you know, the Patriots, lost to a very good Patriot team. But, you know, going up against Belichick again, this super high-powered offense, home field advantage, how important is this game for Andy Reid?
Vital, because it'll look like, once again, he can't win the big one. Now, again, so much of the big one is what you have at quarterback and what you're able to do, and he had a real good one in Donovan McNabb. But I think you can start to sense that even though it's only 1 year, that he's never had a quarterback this good. And, of course, you see how it's worked for Bill Belichick in being able to get five Super Bowl wins. Now you've got Patrick Mahomes, you know, looking, yes, in the first year, he's going to be one of the all-time great ones. And so, you know, this is the – if he can't win with Patrick Mahomes, and I know weather condition is going to play, and, in fact, he's at home. You know, remember, Patrick Mahomes is the one that broke 23 years – for 24 years of history. Now, they had not won in Kansas City a playoff home game since 1994 when Joe Montana was there. And a lot of it has to do with the quarterbacks that have been there. Now they've got the quarterback who can win, and this is the quarterback that can break this streak and get Andy into the Super Bowl and maybe win a Super Bowl.
Do you think there was ever any kind of pushback from the people above Andy Reid in Kansas City as far as, you know, look, I know you love this Mahomes kid, but he's never played before, and you got Alex Smith, who's done a real nice job. We're a good team. We're a playoff team every year. Was there ever any kind of pushback above him?
No, because what ended up happening was that, you know, it started with Matt Nagy and Brett Veach, the general manager. You know, what they were big fans of Mahomes when they were, you know, when he was in college. And so what happens is they'd be watching their Saturday meetings and stuff like that. And so Matt would then get all the other coaches to watch this quarterback. And so they all grew on the same page and grew to respect him. And, of course, they did have Alex Smith, but the more that they watched and the more that they studied and the more that they got to know him, what they finally ended up doing was surprise everybody, trade up to the 10th pick with Buffalo and end up getting him when nobody thought they were going to be making a move on a quarterback. And so, no, they were 100% on the same page, because what you're looking at is that they had months and almost a year where they studied him, liked him, and wanted to make this move.
All right, let's look at the other side now. I think we would both agree, or I think we'd all agree, actually, that the Patriots can definitely go into Kansas City and win a road playoff game. They've done it 1,000 times. Can the Rams go into New Orleans and win that game this weekend?
I think it's going to be as tough as the Patriots, because I think the Patriots are, you know, because remember, the Patriots are 3-4 in playoff road games with Tom Brady. But, you know, the one thing that I think that you can see that maybe if they get the start like Philadelphia did and get that 14-0 lead, the running game is there that is not there in Philadelphia, and they can pound it and try to really keep things down. But I think it's still going to be difficult because, you know, where you're looking at Drew Brees, Sean Payton, they're 6-0 in home playoff games. You know, they've got as powerful an offense as you're going to have, and even if you're down 14 points, Drew Brees can come back and burn you. So I think the advantage still is at home, but I still can't discount the chances of this offense and the Rams going in there and doing something. But again, if I was making a pick, I'm going with the Saints.
Now, as far as the Dolphins coaching situation, last week Chris Richard was the hot name, and obviously you know him a little bit from his days there in Seattle, but now it certainly seems like it's Brian Flores, especially because we don't hear anything about Dolphins coaching candidates, which would lead you to believe they're just sitting here waiting for the Patriots to lose. So can you tell us a little bit about what you know about Brian Flores?
Yeah, not a heck of a lot. I know he's a bright young coach. I know that you know, he's come through and was going to be the defensive coordinator and being all that, but you know, there's so little to know. He's 43 years old. I mean, like a typical Bill Belichick coach, I mean, you just don't know much about him. But again, you knew that he was going to be up for jobs, and I think you can see it's pretty safe to say that he's getting the job because they're already bringing Jim Caldwell in and they're making moves in his behalf, just like Indianapolis did with Josh McDaniels last year. So, it's kind of a mystery. And, of course, when you're talking Patriots, you're talking anything about them, there's always a mystery because, Bill Belichick doesn't want to get all the things that are going on internally and a lot of the people that he works with.
And, John, how much of that defense that we did see against the Chargers was Flores, and how much of that was Bill Belichick?
I think it was all Bill Belichick. I mean, you know, a little bit is more the motivation and the coaching on Flores, but, I mean, everything that they do is all Bill Belichick. I mean, that's all, you know, he works with his staff very well, and, you know, it's, you know, it's always been that way. I mean, Matt Patricia did a nice job for years kind of doing different things, but, you know, it's all the preparation because it's Bill Belichick that starts there on, you know, coming back in the planes on Sunday and starting to map out what he's going to do. And, again, Bill makes more changes and adjustments as the week goes on than any coach in the league because what he tries to do is take away your best weapons, and he finds ways to do it.
John, are you going to either one of the games?
I was debating whether to go to Kansas City, and then when the Arctic blast showed up on the forecast, I wimped out and decided, you know, knowing that I did this a couple years ago in Minnesota, trying to scrape the car at -6 degrees, I thought that I'm taking a pass on this one. I'm staying home.
Excellent job as always, John. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks.
All right, that's John Clayton right there, who thinks the worst villain is Gozer the Traveler. How about that?
What are you doing, John?
What? He sounded like a huge Ghostbusters fan. You heard how excited he was, right?
You didn't ask him about the Warriors, though. That's what you were supposed to ask him about.
No, I said that segment. I wasn't going to do that. I think it's too obscure. Ghostbusters is very mainstream.
Warriors is right in John's prime.
Yeah.
You might come out there with all these facts on the wrist.
It's a cult classic, though. It's cult-like.
The Principal's another good one, too, back in the day.
Belushi. Good movie.
Really good one.
Louis Gossett Jr., head of security.
Yeah.
Why would if Louis Gossett Jr. was the head of security at my high school, everyone would have been so well behaved. Why did they have any kind of crimes at that school?
And what's the other one with Tom Berenger?
A substitute. And Mark Anthony is the head gangster.
Yeah, that's believable.
Mark Anthony.
That's believable.
The
Mark
singer?
Anthony.
Yeah.
Mark Anthony.
J-Lo Mark Anthony.
Mark Anthony.
He's so skinny. I can't see him as a bad guy.
He was head gangster at the school. Drug dealer, the bad guy.
He was also the banker that sold pita to the Mexican cartels for hostage money.
Did you ever see 187?
No, I never saw
where Samuel Jackson is a substitute teacher and gangsters and that whole thing. You never saw 187?
Mm-hmm.
That's not very good. Principal, though, is a good movie.
It is a good movie.
Principal is a good movie. Yeah. All right. Maybe we'll ask John about that next week.
What's his
about 187?
Yeah.
What if he hits you with Dangerous Minds?
Do you think John even knows what 187 stands for? I would say no.
No.
You don't think he knows what down with 187 means?
He has no idea.
You're out of your mind.
You're out of your mind.
He definitely does not.
John, you down with 187?
The only reason any of us know what that means is because of gangster rap in the 90s, which I don't think John probably listened to.
What do you think his favorite gangster movie might be? If he hits you with Menace to Society, would you flip out of your chair?
I would.
I would be shocked. Yes.
Menace to Society is a great movie.
I think if you ask him about gangster movies, he's going to reference...
I don't like that Chauncey.
Godfather.
Why don't you come back here around 10:30? What's the matter? You scared to come back here around 10:30, Mother Scruncher?
Levitard Show, next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news... You call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.